God's word for us here this morning. God's word to be fed by this morning, to be nourished by and guided by as we live as His servants, as His children here in the world, comes from the gospel lesson. And as you hear these words once again, it is hard and difficult to hear these words because we have much love for our family, for our parents, our children, our grandchildren. But these are Jesus' words. And I want you to hear what Jesus says to all of us. Now, a great crowd accompanied him, and he turned to say to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about being a disciple. I want you to think about being a follower of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a challenge. It's a challenge for us to serve the Lord. It's a challenge for us to be His disciple. And we think about all the challenges that we have faced. The challenges of working and providing for our families. The challenges of living in this dark world, a world filled with sin, depression, a world that is filled with others who want to do away with the Christian faith, who are killing Christians, martyring them. We live in this dark world. And now Jesus comes to us and says, if anyone does not hate his own family, he cannot be his disciple. Similar words we heard Karen and I in 1984, after Joanne was taken from Langdon, North Dakota, by ambulance to Grand Forks, North Dakota. We didn't know what was going on. She had blood in the sputum early that morning. We only knew that she had to be taken to Grand Forks Hospital. What does the pastor do? He starts talking to his wife. Can't be. Pastor to his wife. He's husband. He's father. We said all of these things to us, to each other in the car going, because Langdon was 2 hours away from Grand Forks. And so I called the pastor that I knew in Grand Forks at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. And he usually didn't make hospital visits because he only had one kidney. He had a vicar at the time, and the vicar would make hospital visits, but he came. And he sat with us. And he used words similar to what Jesus said. And he said, if you love son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me. If you love father or mother more than me, you are not worthy of me. What a challenge. What words to say to a husband and wife who don't know what's going on with their child. I called you then to comfort us, to strengthen us. But these words had more than strength for us. It showed us where our life needed to be. But if all of a sudden God called your man to be home, she was going to go home to be with the Lord. And we were going to be left here to minister, to help, and to strengthen. And you see, this is what Jesus is saying, so difficult for us to hear about being his disciple. It's a challenge. It's a challenge for each and every one of us. We're baptized. We know the commandments. We know the creed, the Lord's Prayer. I was kind of joking a little bit at our pastor's meeting this last Thursday with Lake Tuckett Circuit, and we were talking about doing worship service and each of us said that, you know, we hold the hymnal in front of us when we are praying the Lord's Prayer, or even the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, you know, and we should know it by heart. But we don't want to be the one that messes up on words. You know? So we were talking about that. But you know, when you know all of that, what else is there to do? So the Lord challenges us. being one that follows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yes, we're baptized. We've been brought to the baptism of Father. And I've always said before that the baptism will come from Mount Moriah. It's an international location. But you baptize and then you bring it into church. So it's a coming into it, into God's kingdom. But you know the baptism. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God claimed us as his own child. And when he said that he claimed us as his own child, he said, no matter what, I'm going to be with you. And Isaiah, chapter 41, God says to the prophet Isaiah, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You're mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. In the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Nor will the flames scorch you. I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You're his. We are his child. So being as his child, we see his creation. We see the trees that will soon change, and some have changed already, so you get the idea of fall coming, and what happens after fall is winter. But you know, that's all of God's creation too. So we know about God's creation. We see the corn and the beans. And when we were in North Dakota, we saw sunflowers. And you know the sunflowers do follow the sun. Yeah. We lived in Langdon. It was almost the heart of Durham wheat. They called it the Durham Triangle. Durham wheat is made into spaghetti. And if you turn the box over, of course this was many years ago, you turn the box over spaghetti and you can see manufactured in Camden, North Dakota. That was only about 60 miles from where we live. We saw God's creation. That's what a God's child does. We see his creation. We know who he created. And when we hold our children and our grandchildren in our arms, we see what God did. The bright blue eyes, the fingers that are so small they curl around your big finger. We were just down last week to see Victoria, and she hasn't grown all that much, only she has. This girl that was 2.6 ounces when she was born, marvelous creation. So we see that. We know that. But in his creation, he has given us power. Not our own power and strength. Power of the Holy Spirit. Luther says in the explanation of the Third Argument Creed, I cannot come or believe in this Lord Jesus Christ except by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that Spirit is given to us to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And this Spirit is given to us to empower us to be his disciples, to be his hands, to be his voice, to be his strength here in the world, to lead others to Jesus, to let others know who Jesus is. When I mentioned to the Bible class earlier this morning, I've mentioned this to you before, that I know I consider him great. Gary wouldn't consider him great. A layperson who tells everybody about Jesus. He's a member of St. Matthew's in Mapleton, but he doesn't go to church or it's at Easter and Christmas. And somebody who didn't know Gary would say he's a Christmas Easter person, but Gary is more than that. He's in churches every single Sunday of the year, telling others about Jesus, telling others about Mission Central, where missionaries come and are refreshed. Amazing that this place is in the middle of cornfields. But he talks about Jesus, the light of the world. Light goes into the darkness, goes into those dark spaces, and proclaims Jesus the light, proclaims Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And this Jesus is the one that we proclaim. The one that we proclaim and in Bible class, in Sunday school, the one we proclaim in our gathering together, whether it's before church or after church or wherever we are, this is who we proclaim, Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who came to rescue us from our sins. The sins that so entangle us. The sins that grab us by the throat. And the sins that are waiting behind us. In the old Adam, behind us, ready with the sledgehammer to sledge us over the head and to tell us that we're bad, that we're horrible, that we're negative, that no one likes us, no one loves us, no one cares for us. That old man is standing behind there. But Jesus took care of them on the cross. And Jesus took care of all of our sins so that we are forgiven children of God and Jesus. And we're enlightened, we're strengthened, fortified, so that we're able to share Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because we've been called to a different life. Paul, second letter to the Corinthians, 5th chapter, 17th verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. And not Moriah, this is a new experience. This is a new experience of having Bible class at 9:15, Sunday school at 9:15, fellowship and church at 10:45. This is a new experience, but God is here, and he's working miracles. He's a mystery. He works in mysterious ways. But he's gathered us to hear his word. He has gathered us to be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we're able to go out and tell everyone about Jesus. Well, we may not be able to knock on doors. But we witness by saying grace before meals, even in a restaurant, crowded restaurant. Share Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in various ways. I was telling the Bible class this morning, I can't go knock on doors to tell about Jesus, but if you're in the hospital, if you're in that hospital bed, oh, you're crying for me, because I'm used to the hospital. That's my second home. And I love being there and showing Jesus. Sharing Jesus. We can do that in various ways. I'm told by us also this morning about this nurse that was being a nurse to my mother as she was entering hospice. This is 5 years ago. And it's over 5 years now. And she said she prayed with God. And on her uniform, she had a button. And it was just it was after Easter, so here was this button, and it was three crosses, and it said, Jesus is risen. And Karen made a comment saying, you know, we wouldn't be allowed to have that on our uniforms. But he that was the witness, showing Jesus. We share Jesus by the power that God gives to us in the Holy Spirit. And may he shine forth that power through you and I as we become those challenged disciples, those challenged followers of Jesus, those who are enlightened and strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.